You're listening to healthradio.fm. I'm your host, Tammy Lee McNabb. I have with me Nirmala from the Chopra, which is a very familiar name, Wellness Center. It's Addiction and Wellness. And you're located in Squamish, I believe. Tell us a bit about what you do.
Well, the center is located in Squamish, British Columbia, and it's we're dealing with addiction, addictive behaviors, depression, anxiety, trauma, basically all the things that keep people unwell.
Now, Chopra, is that a familiar name to me?
Yes, it is Dr. Deepak Chopra.
And he's involved with your center?
Absolutely.
Why Chopra and here in Squamish, how did that relationship work out?
This relationship actually goes back 5 years. When I was doing this work, I've been doing addiction work for about 26 years now. And when I was setting this residential facility, there was a need for a holistic approach. And while I had a clinical team, meaning therapists, counselors, doctors, psychiatrists, I needed to include or integrate the holistic approach. And I had known about Dr. Chopra and his work, and he had written this book, Perfect Health, and Seven Spiritual Laws of Yoga, and I wanted to integrate his philosophy in our program. So when I met him in 2007, he asked me what I was doing. I had gone with that intention to ask him to be part of our facility. So it was something which was synchronistic. When he asked me what I was doing, I told him I do addiction treatment. His eyes just lit up, and he said I'm interested. And he was writing the book Freedom from Addiction at that time, which actually is now part of our curriculum. So guests actually get the book, and the work they do is from Freedom from Addiction, but also 40% of the people don't come with any addiction. They come with just anxiety and depression. And when you remove any addiction or addictive behavior, everybody has depression, anxiety, and unresolved trauma or unresolved issues.
So would people come to your center if they were, is it a true addiction center where someone is at their lowest low of being a drug addict? Or is it more for those who are looking for something on a, like anxiety and depression, which clearly is as debilitating, but I think two different types of clients?
Absolutely. We are as addiction center because our clinical team work with addictions. But also at the same time, we can equally work with depression and anxiety. Just recently, we had a person at the center, and she herself is a healthcare provider. She came as a guest, and she was actually quite impressed to see how we were able to integrate the people who came with addiction and people who came with anxiety and depression, and able to work with both the groups together in the same setting.
Which I find interesting, because I think of myself, say if I was suffering from anxiety or depression, thankfully I'm not, but how would I feel about being with somebody who is suffering from an addiction? And clearly you're able to integrate the two in a way that's not offensive or shameful to either one.
What we do is we do group work, individual and group work. In the group work, stories come out of people. And so we all have very, very similar stories. It's just that we have chosen different methods to medicate our feelings. That's all.
Let's talk about the holistic approach. What are you doing in your facility that's different than, say, a Malibu center?
I can't comment about Malibu center, but
I'm saying Malibu center. Does that exist? Is there a Malibu center? Okay, so I don't mean the name Malibu center. I'm talking about the Hollywood going to the hills and spending, tens of thousands of dollars, and that way, as opposed to a more holistic approach. And I didn't know there was a Malibu center. There you go.
Our center actually incorporates twice a day yoga, twice a day meditation. Guests actually receive two massages a week, acupuncture. The diet is a vegetarian Ayurvedic style. There's no coffee at the center, there's no sugar, and it's a non-smoking facility. So unlike other facilities, our facility really looks at healing from within and healing the body. And often what we see when people go to residential treatment centers, if they're drinking alcohol what may happen is they would switch addiction. Now they switch to smoking. If they allow smoking on the outside, they would drink more coffee and consume more sugar. And I had seen this over the years at treatment centers. This is what was happening. And in my mind, I was at a CSAM conference recently, which is Canadian Society of Addiction Medicine Conference, where one of the presenters said that more people die of smoking-related illnesses and diseases than actually a drug addiction. So we might want to think that, when somebody goes into treatment and if the treatment center supports smoking, then if they allow smoking, what happens is when they do the individual work or group work, when feelings come up, after the group, the first thing they will do is they'll smoke because it's a stress response. Don't want to feel. So that's why it's a non-smoking facility and really paying attention to health.
What do you recommend people do after they have the different interviews? What do you recommend people actually do? So the trigger is to go have a cigarette. What should they then go do? Well, okay, so if someone is a smoker and they go there, but they're going to see you because of an anxiety or another problem they're having, and you're telling them that they can't smoke, what are you telling them to do in place of having that cigarette?
We actually suggest them to stay with their feelings. And when they stay with their feelings, they can walk through those feelings. And these things that happen at the center, for example, massage is very nourishing. Yoga and meditation brings them in the present moment to experience what they're feeling now as opposed to going to a story in the past. Because you have to remember, depression is about our past story and anxiety is about the future. And when you use these tools like meditation, it brings you in the moment, the present moment. And present moment is not the fight and flight response. But if there's a situation where, for example, a guest might get a call from the family member and stuff goes on, then the person does experience that anxiety, that stress, the fight and flight response does come up. And again, we ask guests to start using the tools. Breathing is number one, is slow down and take some deep breaths. For smoking, we also have smoking cessation. You know, people can use gum or patch. Cinnamon is always a good thing for people who are craving. I mean, I know that what I've asked people is if I meet them anywhere, if they're a smoker, is first of all switch the pocket where they put the cigarette. So it's not then becomes an automatic response, because at some level it becomes so autopilot they don't even think about it. They just go out and reach out for a smoke. So if you can slow it down, if you put it in a different place, now you have to think. And when you have to think about it, then you become aware of what you're doing. Or even as you light a cigarette, just take a moment to see what you're doing. And if you're able to slow it down a little bit, you'll know that it's not the same thing as, you know, just an automatic response.
What's the typical time a person spends at the center? You think of somebody who is suffering emotionally, spiritually, is using drugs as part of their addiction. How long are they staying with you at the center?
Average stay is 4 to 6 weeks, which is a good timeline. If somebody is able to invest that much time at the center, we see good results. Part of our program also provides paid aftercare. It's very important that when a person leaves the facility, they have appropriate support back home. Somebody can come to the center and do all this wonderful work and do wonderful healing, and if they go back to the same environment and really don't have any support, there is a chance of relapse. So what we do is we provide a therapist in their own community $100 a week to be supported. So we pay up to $1,200 for aftercare.
That's actually fantastic that the aftercare portion, which is so important, because I think that once they leave the confines of your center and they feel safe and protected there, what happens afterwards? And certainly aftercare is extremely important. How long have you been doing the program up in Squamish? Was it 5 or 6 years?
It's been over 5 years now, which is excellent. And we see some very good results. We see people come from all across the world because it's one of its kind facility. And, coming back again to aftercare, I think family support is very important when somebody does all the healing. And if the members of the family do not change their story and stay in the same sort of judgmental mode, it actually, you know, allows that person to kind of feel like, you know, I did all this work. They haven't done anything to change.
So do you actually have the families come and be part of the program, or how does that work with the family?
So part of our program also includes family members. So we provide one family session for the guest and the family at the center. And we want to educate the families because families need to heal. It is all based on relationships. We have relationships with our own families and friends. And often when we are involved in unhealthy behavior, it damages our relationship. And the whole idea is, how do we consciously communicate with people? And it's all about bringing that conscious awareness of healthy communication.
Clearly those who know Chopra and his work that he does, and if he's aligned with you and this is part of his teachings, it certainly is, I think, a great way for those who are looking to do a more natural, holistic approach. Nirmala, thank you so much for being on HealthReady.fm, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.